So, at a time of renewal, it could even have been called revival, in a parish where I worshipped, a couple felt led to buy an old rambling house and, in cooperation with the congregation, set up a small Christian community, perhaps inspired by the loving, mutually supportive relationships of the early Christian believers. They certainly were a positive witness to the local people. One of the community's practices was to prepare cakes and sandwiches for an open house they held every Sunday afternoon. People from the congregation could drop by for fellowship and snacks. Another loving act which I vividly remember was when a student from a nearby college got a horrible brain injury. She came out of hospital unable to care for herself. So, while her father was making arrangements to travel from South Africa to take her home, the people of this Christian community cared for her. God's love to us, especially as shown by Jesus and his words, "As I have loved you." God is love and loves all people. Jesus, his son, showed and shows his love for us in many ways, beginning long, long ago. Today's gospel reading is from the book of John. At the start of the book of John, Jesus is referred to as the Word. John's gospel begins with the famous words, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through him all things were made. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory." Peter, who we heard about in the Acts reading, describes Jesus as chosen before the creation of the world, but revealed in these last times for your sake. And the author of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, refers to Jesus as the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. So, from the Christian point of view, God's loving plans for humanity, involving the life, ministry, death, and resurrection of Jesus, began even before the creation of the world. We can read in the Gospels about Jesus' life in and around Galilee, in the Middle East, and his love for people. Examples include how he chose his 12 apostles and lovingly taught them for 3 years, his friendship with tax collectors and sinners, his sadness over the fate of the people of Jerusalem, and his teachings about God's loving acceptance of people who regretted the path they'd taken in life and who cried out to God for mercy. People like the errant tax collector who went to the temple to pray for mercy, or the man who we know as the prodigal son. Today's gospel reading is a short extract from the conversation between Jesus and his disciples during their last meal together. John's description of the whole meal and discussions lasts all the way from chapter 13 till Jesus prays for his followers in chapter 17. In these discussions, Jesus advised the disciples on how to continue their master's business in the power of the Holy Spirit, once Jesus himself would no longer be physically with them. Before the meal, John explains, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus proceeded to wash the feet of all his disciples. It's not something we usually do in our culture. But to Jesus' disciples, this was particularly shocking as he was their greatly honored teacher, not their slave. This was a parable through actions rather than through words. By what he did, Jesus showed us a little of the meaning of his soon-to-be death, that through his loving self-sacrifice could come cleansing from a guilty conscience. As the meal went on, Jesus became upset, troubled in his spirit. He knew that one of his disciples was about to betray him, but the others had no idea who or what Jesus was talking about. In a devastating move, Judas left the room and went out into the dark night. Jesus knew now that his own arrest, suffering, death, and also resurrection and ascension into heaven were getting nearer. This is why, even though it was a dark time, Jesus spoke about glory. You may have noticed in the reading, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." So just to recap, Jesus says, "I have loved you." How has he loved humans? This is impossible for me to capture in words in one short talk. One chorus says, "Jesus' love is very wonderful." Another hymn speaks of Jesus' love as vast, immeasured, boundless, free. He took part in loving plans for humanity even before the creation of this world. Through him, all things were made. He became flesh and made his dwelling among us. He chose his disciples and taught them about servant leadership. He laid down his life for us. And so move on to the second half of the verse. "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." In the book of Leviticus, in this command, in the book of Leviticus is this command, "Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against one of your people, but love your neighbour as yourself. I am the Lord." So this was for many centuries before Jesus' time. Jesus reworked this to such an extent that it became a new command. He takes the command in Leviticus to a whole new, deeper level, so that instead of "love your neighbour as yourself," it becomes "as I have loved you, so you must love one another." Although we didn't have these verses about Peter, if you have got your phone or a Bible nearby, see if you can have a look at John chapter 13. And immediately after Jesus gives the new commandment, Peter starts talking to him. It's ironic that almost as soon as Jesus says this, Peter declares his devotion for Jesus. "I will lay down my life for you." Jesus knew Peter wasn't ready and able to face such a challenge at that point in his life. However, by the time we get to today's reading in Acts 11, we see a braver, more confident Peter, empowered by the Holy Spirit, spreading the gospel of Jesus far and wide, despite opposition, hardships, and setbacks. Through supernatural means, he comes to realize that the love and mercy of God is not only for people who are physically descended from the man Jacob, who is also known by the name of Israel. No, as the apostles say in chapter 11, the final verse that Rachel read, verse 18, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." And of course, the vast majority of us in here come from what could be called Gentile families. That is, we're of non-Jewish descent. And yet, the grace and mercy of the Lord God is also available to us. So Jesus' new command was not only for Jewish Christian believers, but for all who believe and trust in him. But how hard it is to put this into practice. But thank God for his mercy and grace when we fail. Which I do often. And also, thank God for the mercy and the power of his Holy Spirit to help us love as Jesus loves us. I have been thinking a lot this week about Jesus' words. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Firstly, I was very touched when, after the service last Sunday, two different unrelated people said to me how they felt encouraged and built up by just being in the service and talking to people afterwards when they hadn't felt very bright before they came in. And there are many ways that I can think of which people in this congregation often show love to one another, listening to each other, speaking words of encouragement, praying for each other, supportive cards, texts, emails. You wouldn't believe how many WhatsApps fly around between church members. Providing meals, helping with DIY, visiting people who can't easily get out and about, hosting people and events. Some here who have a spare room, I know, have hosted missionaries for days or even weeks and months at a time. I'm sure there's much else beside which is kept secret, in a good way. I'd like to return to the couple I knew and was so fond of, who set up a small Christian community. The years went by, their children grew up and left home. The community came to its natural end, but they were still living in the rambling old house. A new curate came to the church with his large family, who just about squeezed into the tiny curate's house provided by the parish. In a move that was a tremendous witness and widely noticed, the couple with a large house swapped with the curate and his family, so that then both families had the space they needed, instead of one couple having too much space and the other family having too little space. As Jesus said, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this will all people know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." I'd like to ask, what can each of us do this week to show our love for one another? What can each of us do this week to show our love for one another?